We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Liability 5 or 6 years ago when he didn't even guard good players 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, whoever that point was, and you know, we would see Klay guard the most dangerous man. But I'm watching these Warrior games, Dibs, and they're not taking advantage of Steph anymore like I believe they used to.
Well, they're taking advantage of everyone's getting taken advantage of in this NBA. Now, defense, I don't think it stands out necessarily how bad you are as much as it used to because of the nature of more possessions, more up and down, more broken floor, three-point activity. You know, when you get in the playoffs and things bog down, we'll see if Steph gets taken advantage of in screen and roll situations. And I don't know what teams you would think have the best chance to do that, Steiny.
Well, I would think Gobert at Utah does not want to come out from under the basket at all. But no big man wants to. That's the thing. I mean, even the best defensive big man in the league can't guard Steph Curry 25, 30 feet from the floor. So I guess you probably want to avoid those situations more than, you know, more than most. And where Ayton fits in, I mean, honestly, you know, Ayton's kind of the same way, more effective near the basket, but that's kind of the cat and mouse game. You know, can you get Gobert out in the perimeter and then kind of fiddle faddle with him a little bit? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Station. And this segment is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. I'll tell you what, though, I'm not going to make a big deal out of two wins over Oklahoma City because that team stinks. In fact, they historically stink.
You,
why doesn't Dibs, you got that stat handy by any chance?
Oh, of the plus minus, how they're a minus 460 over the past like 25 games. That one, I don't have the exact number, but it's the amount of times they've gotten blown out. They've been blown out more and by larger margins. With the actual numbers, here is Kyle Madsen.
Yeah, thanks, Dibs. This is from Royce Young. The Thunder have been outscored by 490 points in their last 25 games, the worst margin of defeat by any team in any 25-game span in NBA history.
Oh, boy.
It beat out the 92-93 Mavs at 489 points for the previous worst. The Mavs that season were 11-71.
How about this? This is a goo original, Steiny and Dibs.
Boy.
Not the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now it's the Oklahoma City Drizzle. How about that? Because ain't no Thunder at OK, Steiny. It ain't much Thunder they got, man.
No, not at all.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
By the way, Steiny, those Mavericks were the Derek Harper, Jim Jackson Mavericks alongside Terry
Dick
Davis, Sean Rooks, Randy White, Tim Legler. Played in 30 games coming off the bench. A guy by the name of Dexter Cambridge featured as well.
I've never heard of him.
I mean, Derek Harper averaged 18. Jim Jackson averaged 16. Yeah, 11-71. That is so bad. Richie Adubato, 2-27. Gar Hurd took over and guided him to a 9-44 the rest of the way.
Well, they got hot. So they were 2-27. Wow, 2-27.
Damn,
God, he went in there and kicked ass. Gar Hurd, nice job.
Yeah, 9-44. You want to talk about holding the bag?
Yeah, I don't eat after the game. Yeah, no
seriously.
Spreads.
Well, Gar Hurd, who would have known? I wonder if he got any Coach of the Year consideration that year. I don't know.
How do you suit up for an 11-71 team?
Man. Thank you. Gotta pay the bills, baby.
Tim Legler's making $410,000. He'll suit up, right?
Legs, he's not listed on here, but Derek Harper, 2.069 was your highest paid player. Fat Lever made 1.8.
Oh, my God.
Nice. He's fat.
Yeah. The aforementioned Dexter Cambridge, $150,000. Boy, has the league changed. Nowadays, they got like Cambridge is making 12 a year, Kelly Oubre Jr.
Yeah, he can help you, Cambridge. Never heard of him in my entire life, believe it or not.
That's incredible.
You got something spit out?
Can I give you guys one more stat, speaking of old NBA stats?
Yeah.
The Warriors the other night against Oklahoma City hit 27 threes. It was their franchise record for threes in a game. They hit 27. The year the three-point line was implemented, the 1979-80 season, the Warriors as a team hit 27 the whole year.
Wow.
And they hit 27 in a game recently.
So basically they hit one out of every three games.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In the first year. That is pretty crazy. Was that Ross? Is that Ross Tucker?
Yes.
That's that crazy?
No. Yeah.
So we got a couple Ross Tuckers.
And then just 7 years later, the Sleepy Floyd game, the aforementioned Sleepy Floyd game, they shot six threes as a team. So already exponentially exploded from one every three games in 1980 to six in a playoff game to where we are today, where you might get six threes in a possession.
And the explosion is due to Steph Curry. That you guys okay with that, right? That's what he represents, Steiny. He
unanimous
started.
MVP Steph Curry, which is why the unanimousness seems even more appropriate.
I mean, wow. I'll just agree with you because I don't want to get hammered, but
no, I mean, you don't have to agree. I just think
he took it to the next level. I mean, but Reggie Miller and those guys, it was starting to come in, and then Curry just made it explode.
And I think
you got to give credit to like the Ray Allens and the Reggie Millers before him.
Absolutely. But I think the way he was able to take it from there and put it to a place while also winning and setting records. And then you look 5 years later, right? And we're in an even further position where this era is looking at 5 years ago like Steph looked at the Reggie Miller era, which was 20 years earlier.
Shoot or shot then, guys. You got bums who can't shooting threes like they got it like that. That's the difference. That whole era, even Steph's daddy, Dale Curry, Ellis, they used to let him go, but the shooter shot. Nowadays, Oklahoma City was playing like they were the Warriors bombing. You guys can't shoot, but they shoot. Used to have a license. Used to have a license. Now you just jack that thing up, man. It's ugly. It's ugly out there.
Yeah, to me, the thing Curry did that was so different was he was, and I know there's other guys who did it here and there, but Curry shot the three or shoots the three off the dribble. He was the first guy to ever do it like he did it. He's the first guy to ever do it as well as he did it. And then he can shoot off the dribble from 30 feet out when you know, even some of the guys we talked about were more catch and shoot. 2018, Steph Curry had himself what's known as a, oh, was it 19? Okay, 2019. Here's a big-time Curry flurry half.
The Rockets fans, so many on their feet right now. Curry launches a three-pointer, puts it in! Steph Curry from downtown! And the lead is five for Golden State. Curry on the drive, gets past layup, bank shot is good. Steph Curry coming alive for the second straight game in the fourth quarter. Curry with Tucker right with him. Curry launches a three, puts it in again. Steph Curry from downtown.
That was Marv Albert. Curry finished with 33.
Mike Breen.
Yeah, that was bang.
Mike Breen. What did I say, Marv Albert?
Yeah.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And it counts. That's Marv. Yeah.
33 for Curry that day. All in the second half, the Warriors eliminated the Rockets, and they did it without Kevin Durant. Without Kevin Durant in that ball game. So nice little career for Steph Curry. And question now becomes: Can he keep it going? Can he do something special and add to his resume this year, Goo?
It's right there. It's set up for him. And again, I keep using this word, Dibs and Steiny. I'm so fixated because Steph Curry's 33 years old. Are you telling me next year we're going to see the way the game is played that he created currently? Dibs, I don't see any slippage to 36, 37. I mean, this is how drunk I am on how far, like, there ain't. It ain't going to happen, Nick. This dude's almost in his prime at 33 is where I'm going. When do we see slippage? He's going to shoot till he's 50.
Well, that's where I think you may be hitting the sauce a little early when we start using the F word in there.
Right.
That's crazy. But to think that he can play at this level next year, that's not far-fetched. The year after that, I think you could look at that and think he could still do what he's doing, because the way he does it is not necessarily that vulnerable. You know, he's not doesn't need to explode up to the rim. You look at Vince Carter and the end of his career. His defining ability, other than he's incredibly skilled and durable and athletic and all that, but it was his ability to go up, over, and through you. Once he lost that, his career kind of flattened out quickly. I don't think Steph's skill, his shooting skill, it's hand-eye. And yes, it's physical, and he's in great shape, and he's strong and all that, but his hand-eye coordination I don't think is going to go away.
Not anytime soon, it doesn't look
incredible,
like, that's for sure.
Man.
In the first half of that game, Steph was 0-for-5 and 0-for-2 from three-point range. He had 0 points at half. In the second half, he was 9-for-15, 4-for-9 from three. He finished 33. He finished with 33 points. Where does that rank among the greatest Warrior playoff wins? The game that eliminated the Houston Rockets after Kevin Durant went down with injury. We can talk about that at 888-957-9570. And then here's an interesting take by producer Kyle, that the Warriors did not usher in the modern era of basketball with a three-point shot. And it's interesting. He thinks that was actually another team that did that. We'll tell you who that team is on the other side on 95.7.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Golden State Warriors, Utah Jazz tonight, 7 o'clock at the Chase Center. It starts with Warriors Live at 5:30. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, and Jim Barnett. And the Golden State Warriors, with just 4 games left in their season, try to hold on to the 8th spot, and if possible, try to get up to the seventh spot, although that's looking like more of a long shot. But it's all about holding on to 8 right now for the Golden State Warriors.
And that would mean the world. That would mean just one victory needed to get into the quote-unquote playoffs. And you wouldn't have to worry too much about a Laker team in that 7-8 matchup. Because even if you face the Lakers and you lose to the Lakers, well, then you have a chance to beat the Memphis, likely San Antonio winner in a game at home. And if you can't win one of those two, you don't deserve to be a playoff team. And additionally, you wouldn't have to worry about facing the Lakers again unless you both won 2 series.
How surprised would you two be if they do get down and tangle with the Lakers? The one thing the Warriors don't have is height and length. I mean, do you, and I love Steph and I'm watching it. Do you think they actually could win that game?
Yeah, it's one game. It's just one game. I mean, Warriors can beat anybody in the league, especially if Steph's playing like he's playing. So, I mean, he's the great mitigator, if you will. I mean, yes, the Lakers are big, and their size has hurt the Warriors in the past, but that's not anything one Steph Curry 12-for-18 game from three-point range might not be able to take care of. You know, Kyle had an interesting point about the Warriors and the Curry shooting the three ball and how Curry kind of ushered that modern basketball in, if you will. And he wondered if it wasn't the Rockets and Daryl Morey that ushered that era in with the philosophy of no two-point shots, Goo, no two-point shots.
You know what? Damn, I'm one of them Dibs. You know, I'm one of those guys. If I'm wrong, I tip my cap, I learn, and I say, you know what? Now you swayed me. I got to back up. And that just hit me like a young George Foreman right hook in regard to the abundance of threes that the Rockets took during that era. So as much as I want to give Steph the credit for actually making them, I got to give Morey and those Rocket teams credit for the plan in regard to throw threes. We ain't shooting twos.
Well, why did they decide to go that route would be my follow-up question. Was it because they saw Steph Curry and the Warriors have success relying more on the three ball, or did they go to it and Steph happened to coincide with being the best at it, but the Rockets were ahead of the curve? That's where it leaves me a little bit curious as to which happened first.
I think they were kind of around the same time-ish, but, you know, when teams shot the three before, you could always say, well, if you shoot 33% from three, it's worth 50 from two. But back then, teams were only shooting about 30-31 from three. So I think they kind of figured it out at the same time, that if you could find a guy who could shoot 40% from three, you could do a heck of a lot of damage. And that's really what's going on with Curry. The reason he's so phenomenal is he's making these efficiency numbers he's putting up are just unprecedented. I mean, he's more efficient. I think I've said this before. His best season, he was more efficient than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his best season. You think about how automatic Jabbar seemed when we watched basketball, you know, years back.
I think about the old adage, guys, if you can't beat them, join them. And maybe that's what the Rockets did, because you got to remember, Dwight Howard was teamed up with Harden early on, Dibs, and we would be in the house at Oracle, and the Warrior team would be knocking them off before, you know, they start shooting threes and they change up their mindset. So it almost is one of those. You can't beat them, let's join them. And that's what Maury and the Rockets did.
And you look at 2015-2016 when Steph Curry went – he jumped up from 8 threes attempted a game right up to 11 threes attempted a game in season over season. And that was about the same time where you saw other teams trying to emulate the Golden State Warriors in that fashion.
Yeah, that's actually a big jump from 8 to 11. It might not seem like a big jump, but, I mean, what, it's almost 33% more threes. So that is quite a jump.
And then he went down to 10 when Durant arrived, and it was 10-10, 11.7. You throw out last year because he only played five games, and then now he's up to 12.6. So more, he's up 1 3 per game taken, greater than his most prolific season.
Yeah, and I think I saw a stat this year. He's actually making a higher number of three-pointers per game than he did during his 402 year of three-pointers, because he did that over 80, 82 games or whatever it was. Maybe not quite that many. But this year,
79 games.
Yeah, so he had all season to get to 400. And hell, he's going to knock on the door with about 60 games played this year, it feels like, 62, 64.
I'm looking at that game Saturday, watching him go off, guys, and I'm thinking, the Thunder stink. We all know that. But what he's doing has nothing to do with the Thunder. Like, they didn't allow him to do what you know, there is no Joe Dumars. There are no specialists to go stop him. I guess you could run two at him, and we'll see if that happens come playoff time. But at the end of the day, guys, what I'm saying is he can do what he did Saturday, and we've seen it to damn near anybody, Dan Dibley, and that's what's making this thing incredible. So if I know we had Larry Brown on Friday. One of the old Chuck Daly, the late, great Chuck, would they just not let this dude get 12 open looks a game?
Well, it's impossible to keep him from getting 8 open looks a game because he'll pull on you from 35 or 40. Mm. So there's a certain number of threes that he's going to take. He's going to be able to dribble into one from the hash mark. And, you know, at times he's going to be able to get his shots off. And also, it's his ability without the ball that makes it so difficult to junk it up. And, you know, as far as these defenses and boxing one, well, you can only do so much because he can run screen and roll. He's the best in the league off the ball, and he can pull it from 40. So you can limit him at some times. Other times you won't be able to do that at all. To Kyle's point, Steiny, I ran the numbers quickly. The year that Steph made 402 threes, in that season, the Houston Rockets averaged about 28 three-point attempts per game. Well, by the next year, after they had seen Steph make 402 threes and shoot 240 more threes than he had the previous year, the Rockets shot 40.3 threes per game. So in terms of chicken and egg, the Rockets' big step up in reliance on the three ball came after the year after Steph Curry made 402 threes.
Man, that's
That's wild.
I don't want to.
There it is.
Keep
yeah.
doing math, but to go from 28 to 40 is a huge jump. Ooh. Huge jump.
And in that year, to Kyle's year. Point, the Rockets shot 40.3 threes per game. The second highest, the Cavaliers at 34 threes a game. So they shot six more threes per game wow. than the second nearest team. So to Kyle's point about Daryl Morey, he may be the one who threw hot sauce on the dang thing, Kyle.
You have to go all the way back to 2013 to find a year the Rockets didn't lead the league in three-point attempt rate. So the percentage of their field goal attempts that were three-pointers, they were doing that. They were leading the league in that. 2014-15, 39.2%. The Warriors at 31. In 15-16, 37% for the Rockets, 36% for the Warriors. And then the Rockets in 16-17, Dibs, to your point, 46% of their field goal attempts in 2016-17
wow.
were three-pointers, while the Warriors went to 35.9%. The Warriors actually went backwards there for a little bit in the Kevin Durant era.
What?
Yeah,
and now other
sense.
Teams have adopted that model, and that's why we got these crappy teams. Dude, the Thunder shot 37, attempted 37 threes Saturday night. What are we doing here?
Points is worth more than two.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's,
but you got to be able to make it. Yeah.
I got news for you. Teams that usually can't shoot threes can't shoot twos either.
Right.
I mean,
look
seriously.
At their record.
I mean, it's easy to say how come they're shooting 40 threes a game. It's because you don't have to make as many. I mean,
I love
I'd be interested to know how many teams are shooting under 33% from three-point range anymore. Because in theory, if you're shooting 34-35% from three, you should never take a two or only take layup twos.
Yeah, there was a juncture in that game. Azubuki goes, Dibs, OKC's a great offensive rebounding team. A little silence on the set. And then Fitz was like, well, he did some math. There's a reason probably because they ain't got nobody that can shoot worth a lick. So you go get a lot of offensive boards. Oh, I fell out. But he wasn't lying.
Availability is everything, as they like to say. So you know, the availability of missed shots would lead to more available rebounds.
Yeah, that always makes me think of the PJ Carlesimo Warriors era. They were always one of the best rebounding teams in the league, always the best offensive rebounding team in the league, and they stunk.
Matt knows because he covered a team for years.
Yeah, and I knew that. I know that team stunk in a big way. Hey, I need some help on this one, Dibs. The Kentucky Derby was run a week or so ago, I guess Saturday. And now we find out that the horse that won it, is it Medina Spirit or Medina Spirit?
Medina. Funky Medina. Cold Medina.
Yeah, Funky Cold Medina Spirit failed a drug test. So they'll obviously strip him of the bouquet, right? What do they take from Medina?
Well, it's what they would take from the owners, which is on the order of about $1.8 million, I believe, is the purse for winning the Kentucky Derby. And this is a horse trained by Bob Baffert, one of the real cheaters in the business. He's faced multiple sanctions in the past for horses that have tested positive for drugs. In this case, betamethasone, which is a corticosteroid, which of course helps for healing and pain management of horses. They have a limit that's allowable. His horse reportedly, and he claimed this, tested positive for double the limit of betamethasone. And in fact, most tracks don't allow betamethasone at all, but in Kentucky, the state, the board allows a certain level, and he was more than twice the amount of picograms that are allowed to be present. You watch the horse run, and it was a tremendous run, wire to wire, winning the Derby in a very fast time, but now completely tainted. And with the Preakness this Saturday, the horse is supposed to be set to go for the second leg of the Triple Crown, but the post position, supposed to be drawn today, won't be drawn until tomorrow because they're not sure if Baffert, the cheater, who, by the way, has been banned now from Churchill Downs, just straight up banned. Last time he did this, he was fined $1,500, which is absolute chump change. And this, I tell you, Stein, this has me sour on the entire industry. Unless Bob Baffert is rightfully punished and banned from the sport for at least a year for drawing taint upon the greatest race, maybe the greatest sporting event in our country, one of the longest running, certainly, I'm out. I will boycott horse race wagering until the right punishment is put upon Bob Baffert.
Well, go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just going to say, Dibs, what about the powers to be? What about the exchange of the money, the currency that was handed over because this horse was on the juice? You never can get that back. So I got to imagine the people, you know, what Liquidate All Assets podcast on Wednesdays, they got to be irate.
Absolutely. And well, if you had Medina Spirit, you already cashed your check. Those tickets got cashed because you had the winner. You didn't know that the horse was on betamethasone, and how could you? But it's the people who are on Mandalown, 25-1, who ran second, who now, by the way, will be recognized as the Derby winner. You don't get to cash those checks. So it's just a black eye on a sport that, quite frankly, shined very bright and positive during the pandemic. Many tracks stayed open. It was one of the only things you could do as a wagering enthused sports fan. And now this, I cannot rightly try to make a wager now on any horse, knowing full well that this sort of thing is not punished.
So who won by default now after Medina Spirit?
It would be Mandalown.
Okay,
which
so...
But again, you don't get the roses. You don't get the accolades. The owners do get the purse, which is nice. And, you know, Medina Spirit, and still they're reviewing this. Nothing officially has been decided, but... Medina Spirit will be disqualified and everyone else moves up one spot.
All right, so what's a worse beat, as they say, in terms of bad beats? Having money on Mandalone and getting hosed that way by a cheating horse, or let's just say hypothetically having, let's say last year, having the Warriors under 48 wins, they get 15, but... because they only played 66 games, it doesn't count, and you don't get that money.
That's a way worse beat, and in fact, that's one of the worst beats that I've ever heard of.
Steiny.
Because, you know, even if they played the last 16 games, they aren't getting over the total. But, you know, there's no action unless a full season or, you know, close to a full season is played, and that's an absolute shame. But it's the nature of gambling. I had the over on the Giants game yesterday, and... they couldn't do a thing, 5-0. Well, and bases loaded. All right, Padres. Do we have action? No. Comebacker to the mound. But Alvarez throws
that?
It away. He throws it away. 1-1 no score. 2 runs no score.
Look
next thing you know, you hit your over. So you win some. Yeah, thank you, Goo. I could have used a few more of those. But you win some and you lose some. Your beat, though, Stein, or this hypothetical beat, is among the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was... it was all right, though. Kyle, go ahead.
So does the Mandalorian, right, was its name?
Close
the Mandalorian?
Enough.
Okay, so the Mandalorian. Oh, Lord, yeah. Is the Mandalorian, what's the real horse's name?
Mandalown.
Yeah. Mandalown. Is Mandalown now in line for the Triple Crown?
Yes, but he did not ship or travel to the Preakness because he didn't think that he would have a chance to win the Triple Crown. So the Triple Crown will go unclaimed. And Medina Spirit actually may be in the running. They have yet to disqualify the horse for the Preakness. Stay tuned.
I have never used steroids, period.
And that's the horse.
It was a loosey-goosey era.
Yeah.
Let's go now to Medina Spirit live in the stable where he was quoted.
Got to blame the athlete there, Dibs. You can't be blaming Bob Baffert, the coach. It's the athlete. It's on him.
Exactly.
Spadone, let's try that again, Dibs.
Well, we actually got an exclusive interview with Medina Spirit, and when asked about allegations that he's a juicer, he had this response.
I have never used steroids, period.
Oh, nice.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
I don't believe Paul Merrill when he said that. I'm like, that guy's clean.
He's a horse.
Did you hear what the horse said when they asked if he did steroids? He said, nay.
Thank you.
Not bad. Bob Baffert, I saw an interview with him on Fox News earlier today. And Medina Spirit, it's right now, according to Baffert, it's in the van being transported to, I guess, New York? Or
Baltimore.
Yeah,
Baltimore. Pimlico.
That's right. Belmont is New York.
You got to Google
New York. I'd say Kentucky to Maryland's probably about a 10-hour drive, maybe 10, 12-hour drive. Sometimes I think, you know, I'm watching a horse being transported on the highway, and how do you know if it's the trailers all look the same? They all look like dumpy trailers. And I wonder sometimes, I wonder if Medina Spirit being pulled by that Impala. You just never know.
Yeah, if you look in and you see a horse flexing in the mirror, then you've got your winner.
Wow.
I have never used steroids, period.
Jorge Canseco?
See?
He's the rat. Rare. He snitched.
Well, yes, he did.
He was. That the first rat of the show?
That might be.
I got Ben Johnson vibes from that horse. Not comparing him to an animal, but he cheated when he ran. And we get it again with the
speaking
with
of running, bonus. And I'm not saying that this individual has ever done anything untoward or done steroids, but did you guys see the DK Metcalf 100-meter dash, 10.38?
Thank you, Gibbs.
You look at him against those sprinters, and you realize just how big these NFL players are because he looks like a sprinter. And then you look at his upper body and his shoulders and his back, and it's like, my goodness, how does this guy ever get tackled? 10.38 in the hundo? And, Goo, he was in it after 50.
You know, he was in it for a football player. And let's not forget when he ran down, who was it, Buda Baker? Who did he run down? We saw that one where they got the interception. Yeah, it's incredible, Steiny. I mean, he is a F-O-N, Fon, freak of nature. That's all I'll say. There was no way he lost it. That was a great showing because that's not his craft or lane. But technically, dude is special, man.
If you had a choice of any receiver in the NFL, are you taking him right now because of his age or?
In the 100, yeah. But
I mean, just overall. Overall.
Boy.
That's factoring in age.
Boy, that's
still
a great question.
Young, obviously.
He'd have to be on the short list.
The short list?
Yeah.
Okay. He and what are you laughing at, Kyle? Short? That's a Lorenzo Neal.
I know it is.
Oldie but goodie. From
I know it is. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. Come on, okay. Steiner.
I didn't think that alone would get the laugh. But
Steiner.
I guess it would. I guess it would. So we'll find out all about the Preakness and whether Medina Spirit is going to be able to perform or not. Yes, Kyle.
When I was watching the DK Metcalf race, was I the only one who was concerned that they weren't going to show which one was DK, and I was going to have to try and discern? And then he starts running, and he's a foot and a half taller and 40 pounds heavier than everybody else running. It looked like a dad running with his children. Man. That's all.
What's he about, 6'5", 6'6"?
6'4", 235, pumping out a 10.38 100 meter.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's all. I mean, I guess he's going to be tough to track down from behind, huh? That's one reason not to re-sign Richard Sherman, because he ain't going to catch him. He ain't catching him, Guru, your boy.
Maybe on his way back, Stein.
Yeah, I know you do. And let me guess, you want him back for whatever reason.
For the meeting rooms, Dibs. He's Yoda. He can be Yoda to these youngsters. That's all. Now, I know he's slipping on the field, but, you know, on that chalkboard, boy.
And if he didn't look like he was washed last year by any stretch of the imagination. So if he's willing to come in at a price that works for you, bring him back. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't want to.
Because he talked a lot about it before the season was over. I think that irritated you, Steiny.
I think you might be right. It bothered me a little bit. And I like the guy. You know, I like what he stands for and all that. But it's a new era.
It's like you telling the spouse, you know what, I'm out of here. It ain't working. a couple of days ago, you know what, I think I might want to make it work. No, you said enough. You're out of here, dude.
Hit the pike.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but what do you put, Kyle? What are the odds that Sherman comes back, would you say?
50%.
Oh, no, that high? That's too bad.
Never tell me the odds.
Well, I'll have to change my tune if the 49ers end up re-signing Richard Sherman. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. I mean, how much time do you need? Do you start believing in the San Francisco Giants, another series win? and they're still at the top of the NL West. But when will you start thinking this team's for real? 888-957-9570. We'll talk about that on the other side, and it's all brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight, Warriors, Utah Jazz. Who knows? That may be a preview of their first-round playoff series. We still have to see how it all shakes out with the play-in game. Right now, the Golden State Warriors are number 8 in the Western Conference, and it looks like they're pretty much locked into number 8 or 9. But there's a big difference between 8 and 9. 8 means you just have to win one game. If you're number 9, you'll have to win 2 games. So the last 4 games for the Golden State Warriors, very important. Of course, they finish with the Memphis Grizzlies, and that game figures to have some big-time implications. We will talk more about the Golden State Warriors in about 10 minutes. And then at 1:30, we're going to have David Locke, the Utah Jazz radio voice. He is very, very knowledgeable. He's very opinionated. And I saw that he threw out a stat recently that I wasn't even aware of, that I think over the last 8 to 10 games, the Warriors are actually the best defensive team in basketball in terms of defensive efficiency. So the Warriors maybe are missing a few guys, but I mean, they're making up for it with playing together and riding Steph Curry. And that's been a good recipe so far.
Yeah, and it helps the defense when you play the Thunder twice and the Rockets once, not to take away from the effort because you still have to defend. But it certainly portends for team success, and good for them. They've done what they needed to do, and 4 games left to go. It's interesting to me the next 2 because you would love for that Memphis game at the end of the year to be non-binding and unimportant. Have a 2-game lead on the Grizz, be the 8 seed, then it could be the Nico Mannion, Alan Smiley Geach show. You can completely mail that in. But also, the game before that is the Pelicans game, and you kind of hope that the Pelicans aren't mathematically alive for the 10 when that game comes up, because they won't have Zion, we know that. So if you can handle business and win at least one of these next 2, that goes a long way toward making the rest of your week a little bit easier.
No doubt. And we talked about it earlier, guys. You know, the Warriors play who's on their schedule. But Steiny and Dibs, it was hard for me to kind of, you know, decipher, hey, you know, are they hot? Are they doing well? 2 back-to-back games against the Thunder. So now, from a personal standpoint, I want them to send a message to the Utah Jazz. Forget the numbers, because there is urgency, but also there is no Mitchell. So, Steiny, I think this is the best time to kind of, I don't want to call Utah wounded, but the fact that you're without, you know, arguably your best player, you are wounded. And the Warriors need this game. So, for me, you know, if we get back on the mic tomorrow and somehow they slip up and can't get this game against Utah, I'd be a bit disappointed in the standpoint that I thought, you know what, you played 8 quarters against the Thunder. I thought this was something you could do to send a message against Utah that they don't want to see this Warrior team come the next round if the Warriors get out of the play-in. So there's a lot at stake to me just from the personal standpoint, bigger than numbers.
Well, the Jazz also going to be without Mike Conley tonight, so they're going to be without their starting backcourt, the Jazz. And I wonder, the last time these two teams played, the Warriors actually handled the Jazz. They played one of their better games of the season, and I wonder kind of how the Jazz mindset is going to be coming into tonight's ball game. They're currently the number 1 team in the Western Conference right now, I'm just reminded of We Believe, the Dallas season, when it looked like the Dallas Mavericks were going to play the Warriors, and then Avery Johnson sat all his guys. The Warriors won. It came to fruition. I don't know that we're at that point, because we have no idea who's going to be in the play-in game or whether even Utah will be number 1 or not. But I do think, Guru, you're right. This is a game Utah would want to win, if for no other reason than if they do play the Warriors, to let the Warriors know that they haven't beaten them twice in a row and don't have anything like their number or anything like that. So Goo, you there? I think we may have lost Goo for a sec there.
I wonder if you reverse engineer it, if you think in terms of what would the Jazz want versus their first round opponent. Because if I'm sitting there as the one seed, the Jazz, I would rather play the Warriors or Grizzlies than I would the Lakers. And so if the Lakers are sitting at seven and I'm the Jazz at one, I'm thinking, Phoenix, you go ahead. You can take on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I'll take my chances against the 8-9-10 survivor. So I wonder if Utah doesn't have extra motivation to that point to go out and try to keep that two-game cushion over Phoenix, because I for one, and again, you don't know if the Lakers might end up at eight. They could lose the 7-8 play-in and end up dipping down. But for me, the likelihood of there being a better team at seven would motivate me as Utah to try to stay at number one.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, Dibs. And I think any way you cut it, either the number one, the number two, or the number three seed is going to get the Lakers. And it could be a Lakers team that's more healthy than not, that's for sure. Speaking of a team that's I was going to say they're healthy, but they're not really that healthy. It's San Francisco Giants. They lost Cueto over the weekend. And, of course, Gosman's on the 10-day disabled list right now, but you know, Giants won another series against the San Diego Padres, and Buster Posey's playing well, and Crawford's pitching in, and Belt's pitching in. I get it's only mid-May, not even quite mid-May, but have your long-term impressions changed about this team at all, Dibs, or you still need to see more before you'll consider them, you know, a viable playoff contender?
They're viable. They're a viable playoff contender, absolutely. And it's because of what they've been able to do against San Diego that has me at least convinced for the moment. Because, yeah, you have many more games against the Dodgers. You won't play San Diego again until September. But you've proven to be up to the task. And you've also beaten up on Colorado, a team that if you're going to be a playoff contender, you should be able to cuff them around. And you have. So still a ton of the season left to go. I understand that. You're barely even 20% of the way through the darn thing, but it's better to be in the spot where you are 20-14 as opposed to 14-20. Because if you're 14-20, we're looking at AAA call-ups and already thinking about the future, but at 20-14, to your point about a rejuvenated Buster and Crawford looks great, Belt contributing at times, and a rotation that looks to be somewhat injury-proof because you have enough arms, there's no reason why they can't hang in there.
And Steiny, I can remember the day that the Giants announced the dimension change, and we were like, it ain't going to have an effect. But we talked about Crawford, Belt, Posey going up to bat at home, knowing they can't hit it out because balls just go to die. And Posey's sitting on 8 home runs, Crawford and Belt 7 apiece. I mean, the fact to me that I'm watching this Giant team with the ability to hit the ball out the park at home, That means something to me, and I think that's why they're 6 games over 500. Now, Cueto came back. He could have went on a AAA stint before you fed him to the Wolves, which was a Padres yesterday. I won't question that, but if you got a problem with it, okay. But at the end of the day, I mean, you are arguably in the toughest division in baseball with the Padres and Dodgers. Dodgers blowing gaskets. Most one-run losses in baseball. Bellinger's out. And you took 2 or 3 from the Padres, so I do believe this is real. And I'm excited to see, can the big three, because I liken Buster to be having a Steph Curry season, Steiny. Maybe not to that extent, but the fact that he was off a year, and I thought he was done, and it wasn't just me, and he's getting to every ball, walks, pitchers fear him. They're following his lead. So this is going to be fun 34 games in.
Yeah, I'm a big June guy. Get to June because it's such a long season. But, hey, they're 20-14 right now. And
First place.
And we'll see where they go. But your boy got hit around a little bit this weekend, Goo. You worried about Cueto?
Yeah, no, I'm not because, again, it was his first action back against live pitching. And it's Tatis Jr., you got Machado, Dibs. So I think they could have maybe sent him to Sacramento or something before you throw him in the fire. But, hey, it was live bullets. He survived. Wasn't his best outing, but I'm not worried. And then, you talk about the others, Gosman. He looked good. So I'll take that as a win.
Yeah, and I don't think that Johnny necessarily wanted to go to Las Vegas and pitch in the relative heat that they had yesterday. It's, you know, you're talking about 90 degrees, so you'd be better off maybe throwing him out there. And it was 89 yesterday in Vegas at about 5 in the afternoon. So I'm sure Johnny's saying, I'm good enough. Let me pitch here. Wind was blowing out a little bit yesterday. A couple mistakes against a hungry team that was trying to avoid a sweep. And it's just one
went
start.
Into the water, Dibs. Yeah. He gave up a bomb.
Yeah, almost hit that young lady.
Popped her float. Yep.
Hey, by the way, coming up in 5 minutes, Eric Sleepy Floyd is going to join us. Eric Sleepy Floyd, 34 years ago today, he scored 51 points against the Lakers, including 29 in the fourth quarter. It was a game four against the Lakers. May 10th, 1987, the Warriors beat the Lakers 129-121. And that brought the Warriors to within 3-1. They would lose in five games, but it takes nothing away from one of the most incredible performances in Golden State Warriors history. It's still up there, even though we've seen numerous of those kinds of games from Steph Curry. But I don't know that Steph Curry's ever had 29 in a quarter, not that I can remember. I mean, you know what, though? It's funny.
This is playoffs.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong if that Steph's had more than 29, but damn, he's done so many things. It's like you don't really even remember what he's done and what he hasn't done, if you know what I mean.
You're better off saying, yeah, Steph did that, while you're trying to remember exactly when he did it. Easier to play the percentages. You know, lost over the weekend was the fact that he had not one but two 20-point quarters in the same game. If there ever was a time where, you know, Steph might be able to sniff 70 or get an 80 in a game, if some of these blowouts weren't blowouts, you might actually see Steph venture into that 70 or 80 point range.
And I'm just thinking, if I'm sleepy, Steiny, the fact is, you know, was that performance more special that it resulted in a win? You know, a lot of times, guys get their numbers. But, man, exactly, you face an elimination at home Sunday. I mean, that will never be forgotten for your boy right here. And, Dibs, I know you can back me up on that.
I mean, it's all about the win. I mean, I remember, you know, when Antoine Jameson scored 51 in back-to-back games, nobody cared about the first game. They lost. They got beat by like 15 to the Sonics that night.
But hello?
When they came back the next night and beat the Lakers, and he had 51.
You play to win the game.
Now, that was, you know, that was obviously a different deal. Always about, I mean, got me to thinking now, though, Goo, just great performances in loot. To me, to have a great performance in a losing effort, it's got to be pretty special where you almost have to acknowledge the greatness. Like when Dominique Wilkins and Bird went at it in that fourth quarter, I think Dominique Wilkins earned more respect from that game, even though they lost, than maybe any other game over the course of his career. Mm. They lost, but he couldn't do anymore. Now, right. I get it. You'd probably come in the next day and say, God, Neek, you know, you got to get that W. But, you know, he showed a lot of people he was among the greats.
I probably would have came down Glen Doc Rivers Road. I would have said Neek did enough. But don't forget Jordan 63 at Boston. You know, he did all he could. He couldn't get the W in OT.
Yeah, that was an overtime game. But our next guest is Sleepy Floyd. We welcome him in. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey.